Okay, everybody, good evening. Thank you for coming and learning together. Today's daf, or tomorrow's daf, once again, is daf Pei Aleph of Maseches Yuma. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honors wife and children. And we are holding on daf Pei Aleph of Maseches Yuma. We're at Ha'ochel Ha'shosa Ein Mitzarfin, which is about six lines into the page, on daf Pei Aleph of Maseches Yuma. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the tziruf of Achila and Shtia to a full shiur, meaning we know that we already discussed the shiur of a Koseves Hagasa for Achila and Yom Kippurim. We've discussed the shiur of Melah Lugmav for Shtia on Yom Kippurim. What if you have a little bit of each, a little bit of Achila and a little bit of Shtia? Are they mitzarif with each other? And then right after the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about why the Torah does not describe v'yisur to eat on Yom Kippurim with a lashon of a lav. It never says lo sochal or don't do whatever, even if it's going to use a lashon of inoy. It could have said a lashon of a lav, and the Gemara is going to raise possibilities. Yeah, what kind of lashon of lav could it have used? How would the Torah have possibly formulated that? Then the Gemara is going to discuss where we find an ashara for inoy in the Torah. Einon shenelim ken masir, and a person can only receive an onesh if it says somewhere in the Torah that you're not allowed to do it. So where exactly do we find an ashara for inoy in the Torah? And then the Gemara is going to talk about the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom HaKippurim and Tosefes Yom Tov, adding on to Yom Tov before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov, and then at the very in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss peppercorns and ginger as far as Yom HaKippurim is concerned. If you chew on things like that, is that considered to be achila on Yom HaKippurim? What about arla? Is it a fruit that's chayiv in the arla, that's asur ba'anah, if it's from the first 3 years of growth? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss food and drink that is not ra'oi la'achila. If a person is chayiv for eating and drinking that which is not ra'oi la'achila on Yom HaKippurim. So let us begin Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, about six lines into the page at the two dots. So says the Gemara, Ha'ochel Ha'shosei Mitzarif. The Mishnah had said that food and drink are not mitzarif with each other, as far as creating a shear to be chayiv on Yom HaKippurim. So man tana, who's the tana that holds that achila and shtia are not mitzarif? Meaning, for what reason would they not be mitzarif? They're both part of the same mitzvah of inui, so why wouldn't they be mitzarif with each other? One would imagine that if you eat some and drink some, you will no longer be mu'una, you will no longer be experiencing inui, and since the isra of eating and drinking the Torah is really just a mitzvah of inui, so why is it that we're not mitzari food and drink, even less than the shir of each? So it says, Gemara Rav Chista, b'machloka shnuyat. And our Mishnah is in fact not agreed upon by everybody, it is subject to a machlokas. Now it's so interesting because he's about to say machlokas shnuya and v'Rabbi Yeshua hi, and we're following the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. So Tosfos Yom Kippurim points out, why not just say Rabbi Yeshua hi? We said mantana. Who's the author of our Mishnah? The normal way to answer that question is, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yeshua hi. But it doesn't say, it says machlokas shnuya, because apparently it's coming to tell me a chiddush that the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yeshua. Apparently that's not obvious, and the reason it's not obvious is because we're about to quote a Mishnah Me'ila, and the Mishnah Me'ila does not say that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yeshua. So that's the Chiddush we're saying, that even though Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is reported in the Mishnah Me'ila, it's not explicit that the Chachamim disagree. So that's why Rav Chista tells us, b'machlokas shnuya, you should know that what I'm about to tell you is subject to a machlokas, and therefore the idea that Achil and Shtiyah and our Mishnah are not mitzarif is subject to a machlokas, and our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Me'ila, klal Rabbi Yeshua. The Rabbi Yeshua formulated a klal when it comes to being mitzareif two different items. Kol shetum aso v'shi'uro shava. If two items have the same amount of tuma and the same shear of tuma, the same shear in order to achieve tuma, so the halacha is mitzareif. Then they're mitzareif. Let's say, for example, you have a chatzi zayis from one dead body and a chatzi zayis from another dead body. So tumas meis is the same tuma from one body and the other body. It would, if a person contracts tumas meis, he's tummy for 7 days, regardless of which dead body he touches, and the shear is the same. It's a gezayis min hameis, it's mitame. So chatzi zayis from one meis, a chatzi zayis from the other meis, is going to be mitzareif with each other. Or let's say you have an adasha, shir ka adasha from a sheretz is mitame. So if you have a chati adasha from one sheretz and a chati adasha from another sheretz, they'll be mitzareif. But you know it's not mitzareif. But tumaso velo shiuro, if the tuma is the same but the shir is not the same. For example, you have a piece of a sheretz and a piece of nevela. They're both mitame only for that day. day. So the tumah is the same. Both sheretz and nevela will only make you tamei for the remainder of that day. But it's not in the same shear, because the nevela is metamei b'kazayis. Sheretz is metamei b'ka'adosha. Or shi'ura velo tumaso. Two items that have the same shear, but it's not the same tumah. For example, a chaticha min mace, a piece of a mace, and a piece of nevela. They're both a shiro b'kazayis, but it's not the same tumah. Nevela only makes you tame for the remainder of that day. But a mace would be metame you for a whole week. So that's a case where it's shi'uro velo tumaso, or sometimes lo tumaso velo shi'uro. It's neither tumah nor shear. That's the same. For example, a piece of a mace and a piece of a sheretz. The sheretz has a shear b'ka'adasha, the mace has a shear b'kazayis. The sheretz would only be metame you for that day, the mace would be metame you for a week. So they're totally off. So then ein mitzarfin. In any of those cases where things are not perfectly aligned as far as both qualities, shear and tumah, then they're not going to be mitzarif with each other. So our Mishnah that holds that achil and shti on Yom Kippur are not mitzarif is perfectly aligned with that. Because it's true that both achila and shtia are asur in Yom Kippurim, but in different amounts. Achila is asur b'kukosev sagasa, and shtia is asur b'melo lugmav. So because they have different shiurim, they're not going to be mitzaref. So even though the impact of achila and the impact of shtia is a chiv karis in either one, but it's different shear, it's a different amount for each one, and therefore they're not going to be mitzaref. So that's the shita that our Mishnah is following. In the Tosas Yom Kippurim, Tosef Yom Kippurim, he raises a suffix. And let's say they were mitzdarif, right? Let's say they were mitzdarif, legabe tumah. So what kind of tumah would they have? Meaning, if you're the chachamim who disagree with that, who think that you have tumas sheretz and tumas meis that could be mitzdarif, or tumas nevela and tumas meis that's mitzdarif. So imagine, you have a chatzi zayis of a nevela and a chatzi zayis of meis. Oh, now it's a kazayis shalom, it's mitzdarif, so it's mitamimi. For how long? Is it mitamimi like a nevela for only one day, or is it mitamimi like a meis for the whole week? So he's not sure which one, whether it takes on the status of the tumah chamura, or it takes on the status of the tumah kala, or by the achila and shtia. If you hold like the Rabbanan that disagree with this and hold that achila and shtia are mitzaref, so to what? To what degree? To what amount? Meaning, if let's say I have some amount of achila but less than a kosev sagasa, some amount of shtia but less than a melo lugmav, together they equal a melo lugmav, but they don't equal a kosev sagasa. Right? So is that enough? Am I chayiv or am I not chayiv? Do you go with the smaller shear or do you go with the larger shear? So the Karen Ora writes that it seems that in order to be chayiv, if you hold against Rabbi Yeshua and you hold against our Mishnah, their mitzarif, in order to be chayiv, you need at least 50% of the shear of achila and at least 50% of the shear of shtia. So if you have a chatzi melo lugmav and a chatzi kosev sagasa, even if it's 60% of this and 70% of that, but you need at least 50% of each in order to be chayiv. Rav Nachman says, no, you don't have to say it's a machlokas. Afilu teim Rabbanan. Our Mishnah could even go like the Rabbanan, who hold that in Tumah, different items are mitzarev, but in Achil and Shtia, they're not mitzarev. Because ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hasam elin in Tumah, d'shem Tumah chadi. When do the Rabbanan say that if everything's not equal, if they're not equal in the shir, or they're not equal in the degree of Tumah, that they can't be mitzarif? That's in rules of Tumah. But aval hach mishum yisubi daitu. But over here, there's a totally different way to measure things over here. Over here, we're looking at whether the person has yishuv adas, whether there's yisuvei daita. So as long as the person has yishuv adas from that eating and drinking, so v'hai lo mi'as v'daite, and with a chatzi shir of each, you don't have that yishuv adas. You need to have either a kosev sagasa of food or a melo lugmav of drink in order to have that yishuv adas. And therefore, even the Rabbanan would agree that there is no tziruf in our Mishnah. The Chayna Marish Lakish, Marish Lakish said the same thing, that b'machlokish of Rabbi Shua, he indicated the same that Rav Chisda said, that maybe our Mishnah is subject to machlokas and follows the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teimer Rabbanan, Ad Kadol Kar Rabbanan Asa, V'lein Tumah, V'lach Mishum Yisub Yidaitu, V'hai Lokom Yiyas V'daitei. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, and he said, no, the machlokas about Tumah has nothing to do with the machlokas about Yom HaKippurim. When it comes to Tumah, maybe Ein HaChinami, it's not going to be it will be mitzaref, even with different shiurim, but by Yom HaKippurim, it's all about yisuvei daita, and the person doesn't have yisuvei daita when he has less than a shiur of each achila and shtia. Okay, new Mishnah now. So now we discuss continuing discussion of eating and drinking on Yom HaKippurim. Achal d'shasa b'alamecha. Let's say a person ate and drank on Yom Kippur in one period of forgetfulness. Meaning, the halacha is, how does someone do an aveira b'shogeg? So shogeg means he either didn't know that this action is usher to do, or he didn't know what day it was. Meaning, like, let's say on Shabbos, a person plows on Shabbos. So how does a person do that b'shogeg on Shabbos? It means that he either didn't know that plowing is one of the lametas melachos, or he didn't know that today was Shabbos. He thought it was Sunday, so he had no idea that it was Shabbos. So if a person is shogeg, he forgot that it was Yom Kippur, and he eats a little bit, and he drinks a little bit. He eats a shir, and he drinks a shir. He has not violated two isurim, because they're the same isur. They're both from the Lashon of Inui in the Torah, and shtia is bechlal achila. We assume that shtia and achila are the same. That's how Rashi points out, that it's because shtia is bechlal achila. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim points out that it's because achila and shtia are both from the same pasuk when it comes to Yom Kippur. It's not about the general principle that shtia is included in achila. It's about the very specific idea by Yom Kippur that it all comes from a mitzvah inui. So either way, the bottom line is, if a person had a whole meal and drink while he forgot that it was Yom Kippur, he's only chayv one karban chatas. But achal va'asa malacha, chayv shtei chatos. But if he ate and he did malacha because he forgot it was Yom Kippur, now he did two separate averos. Eating is one avera, malacha is a separate avera. It's not included in the same issue as achila. Achal ochlin shenaruin l'achila, v'shasa mashin shenaruin l'shtia, v'shasa tzir amorius, pater. If a person eats something that is not fit to be eaten, or drinks something not fit to be drunk, or he eats some sort of fish juice that is not really edible, or murius, which is also something that comes out of a fish that gets mixed in with the fish intestines, where it's used as a dip, but it's not used as a normal food that a person would eat, the halacha is he's pater when it's shalo kedarach. And we're going to come back to discuss the end of that Mishnah at the very end of the daf. So says the Gemara now, why is it that the Torah formulates the issue of eating and drinking in Yom Kippur in such an unusual way? Why does the Torah not use the Lashon of Azhara when it comes to the mitzvah of Inui on Yom Kippur? Why is the Azhara in the Lashon of an Asay, right? Meaning when it tells me that you're not allowed to eat in Yom Kippur, it says, Ta'anu es nafsho sechem. This is what you should do. It doesn't tell me what not to do. It tells me what yes to do. Ta'anu es nafsho sechem. It doesn't have a Lashon of a lav. Mishum de lo efshar. So it says more, you know why it doesn't have a Lashon of a lav? Because the Isser is supposed to be formulated in a Lashon of Inoi. How do you formulate that in a Lashon of lav? What do you want it to say? Hechi nichtov. Nichtov rachmana lo yochal achila begazayis. If it would have just said, don't eat, well then we wouldn't have gotten the right picture. We would have thought that achila that the issur is to eat a kazayis. But we know that that's not the Shir B'Yom HaKippurim. The Shir B'Yom HaKippurim is a koseves hagasa. So that would have been all wrong if it would have said lo yochal. Nichtov rachmana lo su'una. Do you want it to say lo su'una? Do not afflict yourself. Kumechol nashma. If it were to say lo su'una, when the mitzvah is yes to una, that you have to be ma'ana es nafsho sechem, it would give me the exact opposite impression. I would think you're supposed to party on Yom Kippur and have a big festive meal on Yom Kippur. So that would definitely give me the wrong impression. So because there is no way to formulate the Isser b'lashon lav and still maintain the integrity of the Isser, the clarity of what exactly is Asser, that's why the Torah doesn't say it b'lashon lav. Says the Gemara, really, you just got to think a little outside the box. You got to be a little more creative. There's got to be a way to formulate it, and the Gemara is going to suggest three different possibilities of how one could formulate this b'lashon lav. So maskifla Rav Hoshaya, nichtav rachmana hishomer pen lo su'una. Use the old double negative. You don't want to say lo su'una, so say hishomer pen lo su'una. You better be on guard, lest you not be ma'ana yourself, which means be ma'ana yourself, do an inui. So says where in kain nefishi lulavi. Then what we're just going to assume is that since hishomer is a lashon of lav and pen is a lashon of lav, we're going to assume that there are multiple losases and you violate multiple losases in violating Yom Kippur. So that's why you couldn't formulate it that way. The Marsha raises the question. He says, I don't understand. And what would have been lost if we would have said hishomer im lo su'una? that, you know, be on guard if you didn't, you know, Hishamer is a lashon of lo. So I say, im lo suna. Why does that? Hishamer pen. So don't use the word pen, because pen is a lashon of another lo sase. So why didn't the Gemara think of that? So it's also Yom HaKippurim points out, because just like it didn't want to write lo suna in order that you shouldn't make the mistake to think it's telling you to eat, it also didn't want to write Hishamer mi lo suna, because you might think that it means Hishamer mi lo suna, rather go and eat. Meaning that's, but it would still not be clear enough that it's telling me not to eat. Only when it says Hishamer pen lo su'una is that clear enough that it will be telling me not to eat. The problem is then I would think it's multiple lavin. So it says, well, okay, but I got another idea. Maskava Rav Bibi, that's the way it's pronounced in yeshivas, Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. But it happens to be, it's interesting, I saw in the Masifta that the Shla Kadosh in Klal Lashonos Sugyos Oshin Samaches says that the proper way to pronounce that word is Rav Bevai. Right, that's enough to get you thrown out of yeshiva if you pronounce it Rav Bevai. No, but that's apparently the proper pronunciation. It's not Rav Bibi, it's Rav Bevai. How does he know it's Rav Bevai? Because it's a pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk says Bnei Bevai Sheish Meos Asrim V'Shlosha. So it's in Tanakh, and the word in Tanakh is Bevai. It's not Bibi. So you definitely get thrown out of yeshiva. You're learning Navi also. But that's apparently the correct pronunciation. So anyway, so Maskel Rav. Bibi Barabaye. I don't know, I can't do it. Maskefla Rav Bebe Barabaye, whatever. So Nichta Rachmana, I have an idea. Here's how you should write it. Hishamer be mitzvah sinoi. It should say, be careful about mitzvah sinoi. And Hishamer means a lo sase, so it would be a loshen of love. And it's telling you that inoi is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to afflict yourself. No, because in Cain, if we would have said that, Hishamer de lav, Hishamer da se ase. No, I would not have known that that's a lav. Hishamer is a lashon of lav only when it's associated with another lashon of lav in the pasuk. But if it's associated with a lashon of ase in the pasuk, so then I'll assume it's actually an ase, that it's not a lav. So that would not have done the trick. So says Gemara, okay, another possibility, a third possibility. Maskav la ravashi, nichtov al tosur mina inui. Do not, al is a lashon of lav, do not stray from inui. And that would be a lashon of lav, and it would be very clear it's telling you not to eat on Yom Kippur. Says Marakasha. Okay, that's a good one. Meaning that Hashem would have been, Hashem could have been creative enough to think of a way to say it in the lashon of losa, say, because Rav Ashi, in fact, thought of it. Now, we know the rule is, whenever it says Kasha, Rashi writes in Mesech Sanhedrin Davayin Beis, and the Rashbam writes in Mesech Babasra, that Kasha is different than Tiyufta. Kasha means that there's some sort of answer. So, what would be the answer to this question? So, Tosefos Yom HaKippurim suggests that over here the Gemara says Kasha, because you could say that Al Tosu Min Inui is a very strange way to say things. That it sounds like when Yom Kippur starts, and don't abandon your inui, which makes it sound like you're already be inui before Yom Kippur started. And that is not the halacha we're going to see on today's daf. The halacha is quite the opposite. That going into Yom Kippur, you should be full. You're supposed to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat erev Yom Kippur. So al tasu min inui sounds like don't abandon where you already are. So it sounds like on Yom Kippur, by the time Yom Kippur starts, you're already in a matzav of inui, and don't abandon that matzav. So that would be, that maybe would be the answer to the kasha. So bottom line is, the Gemara is not sure why we don't have it in the lashon of a lav. But now the Gemara discusses the Tana Maisi La Mehacha. The Tana of the Braisa learns the Azhara for Inui from the Drasha that we're about to bring. That it tells us V'inisa Mesnaf Shoseichem V'chol Melacha Lo Sasu. So once the beginning of the Braisa tells us that you have to add a little bit from Chol Al HaKodesh, that you have to add a little bit to Yom Kippur, so Yachli Ye'en Oshkari Sal Tosefes Melacha. I might think that if you do Melacha during the Zman of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, when Yom Kippur hasn't really started yet, that you're Chayiv Karis for that. Talmud Lomer, that's what the Pasuk says, V'chol HaNefesh HaShetasa Kol Melacha Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh V'avadi Yasa Nefesh HaYim Mikerev Ama, that Al Itzum Moshel Yom that it's only be'etzem ayom azeh that if you do malacha you're chayiv karis, but if you do malacha when it's not the etzem ayom, when it's not during the hours of Yom Kippur proper, it's only during the time of Tosefes, then there's not going to be a chayiv karis. So says the Braisa, yachal lo ye'en oshkaris al Tosefes malacha, al ye'en oshkaris al Tosefes inui. I might think that if you eat up until the very moment where Yom Kippur starts, meaning you don't add on to the time to Yom Kippur as far as inui is concerned, you stop doing malacha earlier, but you're still eating, I might think you should be chayiv kares. Tamalomar ki kol ha'nefesh shalusu uneh ve'etzem ayom mazev v'nichrus ameha. So we see al yitzum shel yom enoshkaris ve'en enoshkaris al tsef zinui, that there's only an enoshkaris on the actual etzem ayom, but not on tosefes inui, just like there's no kares on tosefes melacha. So it's true that it's asur to do melacha even a little before Yom Kippur starts. It's asur to eat even a little before Yom Kippur starts. But you're not going to be chayiv kares for such melacha nor for such eating. So yach lo yeh b'chal onesh av yeh muzal tosefes melacha. I might think that it's not included in onesh kares, but it's still a lo sase, and therefore you should at least get malchus. So Talmud Lomar, that's where the pasuk says v'kol melacha lo sasu be'etzem hayom hazeh al yitzumo shel yom hu muzar ve'eino muzar al tosefes melacha. That for doing melacha, it is not even a violation of a lo sase before Yom Kippur starts. You're not allowed to do it, but it's not a violation of a lo sase. You're not going to get malchus. So yach lo yeh muzar al tosefes melacha v'leh muzar al tosefes inui. But I might think, okay, it's still a violation of a lo sase to be eating right up until the time of Yom Kippur. Vidinu, and the truth is, it's a kal v'chomer. Malach shenargis b'shabbas v'yom tovim einu musar aleha. If malacha, which is something that is, that's not only asr in Yom Kippur, it's asr in every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, we have an isur malacha. So apparently, the isur malacha is more broadly applied, and yet it's still not alav during this man of Tosefes, during the extra time that you had on Yom Kippur. So inui, which is a much more unique din, which is not so broadly applied. Sheinu noig b'shabbas v'yom tovim. We never have a din of inui and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Einu din shloye musar alav. So for sure, it should not be expanded to the Zman of Tosefes. Melacha is something that we apply all over the place. So if we're not even going to apply Melacha, which we apply all over the place, to the Zman of Tosefes, Inui, which is much more limited and only applies in Yom Kippur, for sure should not apply to the Zman of Tosefes. So we know that there's no lav by Tosefes Yom Kippur. There's no kares and there's no lav. That's what the Brice has established to this point. During the Zman Tosefes, there's no chiv kares and there's no chiv lav, not for Melacha and not for a violation of Inui. So, but we don't have a clear ashara for inui on Yom Kippur. Forget about this mantel sefes on Yom Kippur itself. So, how do I know that there's an ashara? Where is it? Where do we find an ashara? So says Gemara, we learn it from a gezeira shava, because lo yomar onesh b'malacha. You don't have to say that there's an onesh when you do malacha on Yom Kippur, because I could have figured that out on my own. The gemara mi inui, I could figure out if you tell me that there's an onesh by inui, I'll know automatically that you get punished for doing malach on Yom Kippur, because umma inoy sheinu noig b'shabbas yom tovim, inoy, which is more kal, which is because we see that it's so narrowly applied, it doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Still anush kares, you still chayv kares if you violate inoy in Yom Kippur. Malachos shenoigis b'shabbas yom tov malkol shkein. So malachos, which are more broadly applied and therefore are more chamer, should for sure be a problem on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. So that's what we're suggesting over here, that we should learn that there's a din of inu, that there's an onesh for malacha on Yom Kippur from the fact that there's an onesh of inui on Yom Kippur itself. Problem is, the Achronim are bothered by the question, there's a klal in Shas, that ain't onshin min adin, that you're not allowed to use a kal v'chomer to derive an onesh. So what's the havamin over here, that ain't onshin min adin? So you have to say that if you look in the sugya makos, where we say ain't onshin min adin, it's not universally agreed upon that ain't onshin min adin. It's machlokas over there. We're just used to the rule, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says onshin min adin. So it must be that we're assuming like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda over here. So anyway, says Gemara, lama ne'emar. So why does it, once we've established, I could have figured out that there's no nesh kares from malacha on Yom Kippur just from the fact that it says it by inui, so why does the Torah actually spell out that there's a no nesh kares from malacha on Yom Kippur? I'll figure it out from inui. So it says more, mufna lahakish v'ladun mimenu. Oh, it must be that it's an extra phrase that the Torah teaches me in order that I can make a v'ladun mimenu gzera shava, that I can make a gzera shava from this word. Now in general, you can make a gzera shava from a word even if it's not mufne, even if it's not open and available. There are rules that govern this. It's a sugi maseches nida, that if gzera shava requires two different psukim to be used, right? You're connecting one pasuk with another. So the Gemara maseches nida tells us that if both of those psukim are not otherwise being used for drashos, the gzera shava is rock solid. No question you ask on the link between the two of them is going to ruin that gzera shava. If one of them is open and the other one is being used for some other limud, then it's machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanan whether you could be docha de gzeira shava. If both of them are not open, both of the words are being used for something else, then it's machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar whether you can't learn the gzeira shava to begin with, or you can learn the gzeira shava. You could just reject it if you come up with some distinction between them. So it strengthens gzeira shava at the very least. It strengthens gzeira shava to say that the word is not otherwise being utilized. So that's what the Gemara is setting up over here. That the fact that you're chayv kares for melacha on Yom Kippur is not something that the Torah had to tell me, because I could have learned it from Kal v'chomer. And therefore, the fact that the Torah tells it to me means it's extra. So the gzera shava we're going to learn from there is going to be a more powerful type of gzera shava. So what's the gzera shava? Nemar onesh b'inoy. It says onesh when it comes to inoy, violation of inoy. V'nemar onesh b'melacha. And it says onesh when it comes to a violation of melacha on Yom Kippurim. So we could learn ma melacha. Just like by Malacha, there's no onesh unless there is an ashara somewhere. Pasuk says Kal Malacha Lo Sa, so that's the ashara. Saf Inoy Lo Onesh Alim Kein Hizir. By Inoy also, there's only an onesh if there was an ashara somewhere before. And since it's mefurish that there is an onesh by Inoy, it must be that there is an ashara. So what does it mean, it must be, but there isn't? No, it means it's ki'ilu, there's an ashara. We use that word that creates the gzeira shava to serve as the ashara, because the Torah is explicit that there's no onesh. So it must be that there's an ashara. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. Is the link so rock solid between the two of them? We said we could learn from a Kal v'chomer that there must be an onesh on Malacha, because after all, there's an onesh on Inui. And Inui is so much more kal, because it's so much more limited. It's only Yom Kippur. Malacha applies to Shabbos, Yom Tov. Is that such a clear kal and chamur? Mali Inui shalahutar michlalo. You know, it could be that in a certain sense, Malacha is more kal, because Inui is never going to be mutter. Whereas Tomer b'malacha shalahutar michlalo. There are situations where we do allow malacha, meaning, for example, you bring karbanos in Yom Kippur, that involves malacha, but you're allowed to do that malacha for whatever karbanos you need to bring that day. So since there is a tzad chamor within Inui that you don't have by malacha, that would destroy the whole kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer requires that the kal be kal from every angle, and the chamor be chamor from every angle. So if the chamor is kal in even one little aspect, it will ruin any chance at a kal v'chomer. The Rashash raises a question: is that true that Inui was never sacrificed? It's never hutar michlalo. What about at the Chanukah space Hamikdash, where the Gemara Moed Katan tells us that they were matir Inui? They allowed eating on Yom Kippur because they were celebrating the Chanukah space Hamikdash. So they ate and they drank and they celebrated on Yom Kippur itself. So don't you see it's hutar michlalo? So the answer is obvious. That was once in history. That's not a halacha that carries forward. It was one time. It was an event that happened. But malacha, we allow to be done every Yom Kippur that there's a Beis Hamikdash. They did malacha of bringing karbanos. So that's a halacha. That's an ongoing halacha. So it says Gemara Ella. So we have to change the braisa a little bit. And it should say as follows: Lo yomar onesh b'inoy. That it should never have said onesh in the context of inoy. De gamar mi malacha, because I can learn it out from malacha. That as follows: Ma malacha shutu michlala onesh kares malacha, which sometimes you make la malacha and still you chayiv kares for. Inoy shalohutar michlalo, Inoy, which never has any heter, lo kolshkein, of course you're going to be chayiv kares. Meaning Inoy is the more chamor one in this kal v'chomer. So it says, well, lamanemar, so why does it mention Inoy? Why does it mention onesh kares by Inoy? So it must be mufna lahakash vladim men gzer shava, that it's available to use for gzer shava. The nemar onesh b'inoy, v'nemar onesh b'malacham, amalach onesh v'ezir, af Inoy onesh v'ezir. Meaning the same limo, just in the opposite direction. We're saying that it's not the onesh kares that it says by malach, that's extra. It's the onesh kares that it says by Inoy that's extra, because that's what could have been derived from a kal v'chomer, and then just carry forward the same limud. So says Gemara, no, but there's a tzad chomer also. Ika lemifrach malam malacha shekin ragus b'shvas yom tovim. Don't set up a kal v'chomer where malacha becomes the kal because you make exceptions to it. Malacha is also chomer because it applies to every Shabbos and every single yom tov. You can't forget about that. So tomer b'inoy shein b'shvas yom tovim. So you can't say the same by Inoy, which is not knowing by Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, and therefore it's not extra to teach me an Gzeira Shava, and we're still stuck looking for where is there an ashara for inoy on Yom HaKippurim. So again, we said there is no ashara for inoy during the Zman Tosefes, because there's no lav, there's no kares during the Zman Tosefes, not for malacha, not for inoy. But on Yom Kippur, where's there an ashara for inoy on Yom Kippur? So we suggested maybe it's the fact that it tells me an onesh by malacha on Yom Kippur, which is extra. So no, it's not extra. Maybe it's the fact that it tells me an onesh by inoy on Yom Kippur, which is extra. No, that's not extra either. Third try. Amar Ravina, Haitana, Etzem, Etzem, Gamar. That it's a gzera shavar from the word Etzem. It says the word Etzem both by inoy and by malacha. By inoy it says, Kikala nefesh alosuna be'etzem ayom azav nechusam ayamela. And by malacha it says, Bekala nefesh atasaka malacha be'etzem ayom azav avati as nefesh umikaravama. So the word Etzem is extra, and therefore, just like by malacha, we find that there's an ashara, so by inoy also there's an ashara. So, Mufna, and you have to say, though, that if you're making gzera shavah between inoy and malacha, that gzera shavah is mufna, that both words etzem are available. Because if they weren't available, if they weren't extra, you can blow up this gzera shavah by asking that the two don't really match each other. We could point out the same discrepancies we've already pointed out, that malacha is more chamor in a certain sense because it applies on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, and malacha is more kal in a certain sense because it's hutar michlalo. So that would ruin the gzera shava if the gzera shava were not mufna. So it must be that the gzera shava is mufna, and therefore there's no question that you can ask on the gzera shava. In that sense, the gzera shava is different than the kal v'chomer. In many senses, the gzera shava is different than the kal v'chomer. This is one of the ways that the gzera shava is different than the kal v'chomer. The most fundamental way that the gzera shava is, they both generate dinim daraisa. If you have a gzera shava to apply, it creates a din daraisa. If you have a kal v'chomer to apply, it creates a din daraisa. But a gzera shava is the most illogical of all the Yudgim Lamita Shatorim Dreshes Bad. It's just randomly taking two words that appear in two different places and saying that there's a halacha that applies. And that's why the Gemara says, Ein Adam Dan Gzeira Shava Me'atzma Elam Ken Kibla Me'rabo. You need to have a Mesora, you need to have a tradition to apply Gzeira Shava. You can't just apply a Gzeira Shava. Whereas Kal V'chomer, you absolutely are allowed to make a Kal V'chomer on your own. Nothing wrong with suggesting your own Kal V'chomer. But here's another way that they differ. A Kal V'chomer, if you have any sort of pircha on the kal v'chomer, anything that's dissimilar between the two, a tzad kal in the chomer, a tzad chomer in the kal, it blows up the kal v'chomer. By a gzera shava, if it's mufna, those kinds of questions don't bother us. If it's a really strong gzera shava that's mufna, those kinds of questions don't undo the gzera shava. The gzera shava still remains. So says Gemara, you're right. La'ay, afnuya mufna, it is a mufna gzera shava. Because michti, chamisha krai ksivi b'mlacha. There are five separate psukim that tell us not to do malacha in Yom Kippur. So chad la'asar di imam, want to tell me not to do malacha during the day. V'chad la'asar di leili, want to tell me not to do malacha on the night of Yom Kippur. Chad la'onash di imam, want to tell me that there's no onash if you do malacha during the day. V'chad la'onash di leili, and then v'chad lafnu yei, and then the fifth one is extra. L'migmarino, v'malacha v'im di imam, v'im di leili, and that's used for the gzera shavah to link to inoy. Such a strange idea, though. You need two separate psukim to tell me not to do malacha during the nighttime and during the daytime. You know, you don't have that by, do you? You don't have that by Shabbos, Yom Tov, right? Just tells you not to do malacha. So it's a little bit unusual. So perhaps, the Tosa Rush explains, perhaps it's because by Yom Kippur, the Torah already used the term Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. Be'etzem Ayom implies that it's only daytime. So in order to counter that, I need an extra pasuk to tell me nighttime is included as well. The Gvura Sari writes that Lagabe Yom Kippur, you need an extra pasuk to tell me Laila, because the Torah is Tola Inoy and Isra Malacha B'Yom HaKippurim in the Kapara Sayom, that the Inoy and Isra Malacha relate to the Kapara Sayom. It says, Ta'anus Nav Shusechim Chol Malacha L'Sasu, and then it goes on to say, why? Ki B'Yom HaSei Yechaper Aleichem. And what's Mechaper? Which part of Yom Kippur is Mechaper? Itzum Shel Yom is Mechaper. It's the day of Yom Kippur that's Mechaper, not the night of Yom Kippur. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me to apply the Yisra Malacha and the Inoy at night as well. Okay, now the Gemara brings a fourth possibility of where I learned the Inoy of Yom Kippur, the Asara for Inoy Yom Kippur from. Tiber Bishmal Tan and Nemar Kan Inoy, V'Nemar La'alan, it says by Nara Amrasa, a similar Lashon of Inoy. So Mala Lo Anashalim Ken Yizir, just like by Nara Amrasa. There is no Chiv Skila for being Boel and Nara Amrasa unless a person had an Asara Sarah first. So Afkan Lo Anashalom Kin is here. Over here also, in the Torah had to give an Asara in order to punish for the Kares, for the failure to fulfill Inoy properly. And then a fifth possibility. Ravach Yaakov Amar, Yalev Shabbos Shabbason, Mishabbos Bereishis. We learn Shabbos Shabbason that it says by Yom Kippur, it says Shabbos Shabbason, and it says by what we call Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbason. So Malah Alon, just like by Shabbos Bereishis, the Gemara calls Shabbos Bereishis, it means Shabbos. Lo Anashalom Kin Hizir. There's not going to be an Onish unless the Torah gave an Asara somewhere. So Afkad Lo Anashalom Kin Hizir. So here also there must be an Asara. And then a sixth possibility where we know the Asara from Rav Papa Amar, that it's Hu Gufei Shabbos Ikri. Dechsev Tishbush Shabbat Chem. You don't need the fact that it uses the term Shabbat Shabbosim both by Shabbos Bereishis and by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. So since Yom Kippur is called Shabbos, it has the same rules as Shabbos. So it says, well, wow, Bishlam Rav Papa Lo Amar Kravach Bar Yaakov. I understand why very well why Rav Papa didn't want to say like Kravach Bar Yaakov. I'd rather just use a pasuk that it says about Yom Kippur instead of having to schlep a pasuk. You know, Mimercha Ktavi Lachma. Why do I have to bring a pasuk from Shabbos Bereishis? Use the pasuk that it says by Yom Kippur. El Ravach Bar Yaakov, my time, Lo Amar Krav Papa. Why did Ravach Bar Yaakov reject Rav Papa? So he says, no, you know why he rejected Rav Papa's limud? Because he already needs the pasuk of Tishbushu Shabbatchem for the limud in the following brisa. The pasuk says one should experience Inoy on the ninth day of Chodesh Tishrei. So Yachol Yaskul Yisada Betisha. I might think that you have to start fasting on the ninth day. Tamalomer Be'erev. That's why it says Be'erev. Well, I Be'erev Yachol Mishadachshach. If it's Be'erev, I might think only when it's really dark outside on Yom Kippur. Tamalomer Betisha. That's why it says Betisha. No, a little before it gets dark. Haketzad, Maskul, Masani, Mibod Yom, and Mikan, Shemasif, Michal Ala Kodesh, that you start fasting a little bit before it gets dark. And that's the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, that you add on a little more to Yom Kippurim. Ve'enli Ela B'knisaso. I only know that you have to add on to the beginning of the day. B'tziyas Aminayin, how do I know you have to add on to the end of the day as well? Tamalomer, Me'erev Aderev. So the mashmos of the pasuk is that you have to be misane from the Lel Asiri until the Lel Achadasar, including some of the Lel Achadasar, including a little bit of Motzai Yom Kippurim. Say in the other Yom Kippurim, Shabbos is Minayin. How do I know Shabbos is also included in the mitzvah Tosefes? Tavlomar Tishbisu. That's where I use Tishbisu Shabbatchem to tell me the din of Tosefes Shabbos. It seems pretty mavur in the Gemara that the din of Tosefes Shabbos is din daraisa. However, the Rambam does not quote Tosefes Shabbos at all. Not Daraisa, not Rabbanu, which is stunning. He does quote Tosefes Yom Kippurim as a din Daraisa, but not Tosefes Shabbos. That's a lot has been written on that topic, but not for now. So, Ainli Ela Shabbos Yom Tov Minayin. That only tells me Shabbos. How do I know there's a din of Tosefes Yom Tov as well? Tamalomer Shabbat Chem Haketar Kol Mokum Shemar Shavos Mosif Mechal El Kodesh. Whenever there's a mitzvah of Shavos, we always are Mosif Mechal El Kodesh. We always add some extra time. So, V'tana De Etzem High Betishal. Now, if you learn the Asara from the Gzera Shava of Etzem Etzem, what do you do with this drasha of Tisha L'Chodesh? What is the pasuk telling me Tisha L'Chodesh? You should be Masana Tisha L'Chodesh. Teach me. So, Tani Chia Barav Midifti. V'Nisim Zav Shechem B'Tisha V'Chi B'Tisha Masanin. Do you fast on the ninth day of Tishrei? Malo Ba'Asim Masan. You fast on the tenth day of Tishrei. Ela Lomel Chakolach V'Shosu V'Chi Malo V'Kosov Kilu San V'Chi V'Asiri. It's telling me the famous drasha that if you eat and drink on the ninth day, so then it's as if you fasted on the ninth and the tenth. So there's a question, why is there a mitzvah to eat on the ninth day of Tishrei? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, in Shar Dal, in Simun Ches, that the reason for the mitzvah of Suda is to show how happy you are in the impending kapara that you're about to get. Or, says Rabbeinu Yonah, on other Yom Tovim, you could be Koveya Suda on the Yom Tov itself. So it's like you're having a Suda's Yom Tov to celebrate Yom Tov, just having it in advance, because you're not going to be able to have it on Yom Tov. Or, says Rabbeinu Yonah, a third possibility, that the Suda is in order to give us the strength to daven with the koach that we need, because it's exhausting to daven on Yom Kippur, right? We have on the Zoom here some Bali Tefillah for Yom Narev, so that, they know how exhausting it could be. But even for a regular person who is not a Bali Tefillah, it's exhausting. So you need a lot of kochos to be able to make it through the day. Or the Shibalei Lakat says that the reason we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to enhance the inui. It makes it more painful because we go from being bloated and full to to having to fast. And that's a Shinrei Veset. You know, whenever you go out of routine, it makes it very, very hard. So there are nafkamin, as the poskim discuss. If a person is a chola that's going to have to eat on Yom Kippur, does he have to fast on Erev Yom Kippur? Is it only a preparation of, or is it in place of the Sud? Is it a celebration of the impending Kapar? So Mechap and Nafkamina. Nafkamina might be for an Isha, whether we view it as an independent mitzvah shazman grama, or we view it to be connected to the fast, in which case she would be chayiv. Rav Yosef Engel says that if you hold that it's in order to be able to fast better on Yom Kippur, then there's no reason to eat meat. You should eat that which helps you fast better. But if you hold it's like a din of sudas Yom Tov, then you should eat meat. The Gemara seems to tell us elsewhere in the Sechus Ksuvus that they used to shecht a lot of animals on Erev Yom Kippur. It sounds like they would eat a lot of meat on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, right to the Gemara, we're going to go a little over time, another couple of minutes. If a person eats food that's not right lachila, so Amarav, kas pilpul biyom de kibur. If a person chews on peppercorns and Yom Kippur pater, it's not a food. Kas nagvila biyom de kibur. If a person chews on ginger and Yom Kippur pater, not a food. Meisvei hayu Rabbi Meir Omer mimash v'shenem arvar alter velasa es pirio in yodei sheitz machalu. Don't I realize when the Torah tells me the mitzvah of arla about the fruits that it's obviously about a fruit bearing tree? El matam lomer eitz machal. Why does the Torah have to say the words eitz machal to tell me eitz shatam meitzo pir yoshava? That arla applies to a tree where the fruit and the tree taste the same. What's that? Aviomer zepilpulin lamelcha shapilpulin chayvin barla. That tells me that peppercorns are in fact chayvin arla because ein eretz shol chaser vein eretz shol chaser klum and eretz shol is lacking of nothing. Shnemar lo sechs are kol bayit. Even as trees where the fruit and the tree taste the same. So the bottom line is that this is a kasha on Rava. He said that if you eat it on Yom Kippur, your patuk is not rai lachila. Now we're saying it's a fruit that tastes like something. It tastes like the tree, and it's subject to arla. Says Malo Kasha, habir tivasa, habi avishta. If it's dry, you could chew it in Yom Kippur. If it's moist, it's a fruit. So Amalei Ravina Lemreimar, Vamar Rav Nachman, hai heimalta, a certain type of ginger with honey, daasi b'behun da'i, that came from behun da'i, sharia, you're allowed to eat it. It's not a violation of bishalakum, because it's something that would have been edible raw anyway. So it sounds like ginger is an edible food. And you say a bracha on it. So how can you say that you're allowed to chew it in Yom Kippur if it's an edible food? Says, if it's moist, it's an edible food. And therefore, it's nelchel kamoshu chai, so it's not going to be subject to bishalakum. But if it's dry, it's not a food at all, and you're even allowed to chew it on Yom Kippur. Tan Rabbanan, achal aleikanim pater. If a person eats aleikanim, reed leaves, eat pater on Yom Kippur, because it's not a food. Lulvigafanim, if he eats lulvigafanim chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv. Those are the prachim that come out of the grapevines. So eluei lulvigafanim. The lulvigafanim are the following. Amar Yitzchak Migadlah, kol shelivluvlu mirashana ad Yom Kippurim. Whatever sprouts between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rav Kadamar kol shoshim yom. No, it means that they sprout out for 30 days, so they're still roi l'achila from the time that they begin to sprout. Tani kavasi Rav Yitzchak Migadlah, achal alikanim pater, lulvei gufanim chayiv, and eluhim lulvei gufanim kol shelivluvlu mirashana ad Yom Kippurim. So it says like the first opinion, that lulvei gufanim are defined as that which comes in those first 10 days. Shasa tzir or murius pater. If you drink sir or murius, you're pater. So it says Mar Chometz chayiv. It makes it sound like if you drink raw vinegar, you're going to be chayiv. Well, masnisin mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rebbe. He must be assuming like Rebbe. Detanya. Rebbe Amar chometz meishavas anefesh. Raw vinegar, it reinvigorates you. So that's why you're going to be chayiv for drinking on Yom Kippur, because apparently it will take away your inoy. It's going to reinvigorate you, and you're supposed to experience inoy on Yom Kippur. Darish Rav Gidol bar Menashe mi birei dineresh ein alachik Rebbe. We don't pass like Rebbe. Rather, we hold chometz on Yom Kippur. If you drink chometz Yom Kippur, your potter. L'shana nafki kulei alma, mazgu v'shasu chala. So the next year, everyone started drinking vinegar. It was givaldic. They felt nourished and satiated, and they were great. So they never fasted so well as that year, because they were drinking vinegar. Shamar Rav Gidol, the ikbid. So Rav Gidol heard about it. He said, uh-oh. He got upset about that. Amar Eimed, Amar Eimed, b'di'evet, chachil mi'amri. I only said that you could do it b'di'evet. B'di'evet, it's not called that you were mevatel the inoy. I didn't say l'chachil you should go around drinking it. Eimed, Amar Eimed, porta. Tuva mi amri? I only said you could have a little bit. I didn't say you should have a whole thing. Anyway, I remember what Rav Shachter one year said, that you could have Listerine strips on Yom Kippur. So one of my nephews ate like 10 packs of Listerine strips throughout the course of Yom Kippur. So, you know, Rav Shachter said, Eimer d'amri ana porta, Tuva mi amri? I didn't say that you should have that. That's you know, then obviously you're treating it like an ochel. You're not just treating it like something that freshens your mouth. So that anyway is a chiddush, that sheet of Rav Shachter. A lot of people disagree. So, I only said something raw. I didn't say that you could have it diluted. That you're not going to be part of. That's considered a real drink. Okay, we'll stop there. But tomorrow we'll pick up Pei Beis Amar Aleph of the Mishnah on the Taf. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Thank you.